Heavenly Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you for your kindness and your mercies. You're such a great God. Every day we see how great you, we see more clearly, Father, how great you truly are. And so as we enter your word this morning, we do not enter into it presumptuously, but we enter it with reverence, fully conscious of the fact that our human minds are limited to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom. Your infinite wisdom has been compressed into the written word. So we need the help of your Holy Spirit to come out and help us unravel this. And so we ask, Lord God, for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should as an oracle of God. We pray the same anointing upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who hear me remotely, electronically, so that, Father, the word will have free course from you through me to the people, to do an eternal work in every heart, including my own. Causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to become more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth, to back them, the power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men, so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful as I deliver the word, Father, that I will do it with precision, redeeming the time and saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with that prayer, receiving each blessing in their individual life, agreed with me and said, Amen. Amen. Our last lesson was in James chapter 5. And I believe today we're going to start in verse 12. In our last lesson, in verses 10 and 11, we saw the Holy Spirit speaking to us through James that we should learn to endure afflictions and tribulations. And he gives the classic example of Job. I've said this years ago, and I will repeat it today. Well, not years ago, probably not too long ago. You know, God gives us extreme examples in the Bible. Very extreme. That, you know why? So that through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures, you can have hope. I don't think there's anybody in our generation who has gone through what Job went through. God will not allow you to go through it. Hello, somebody. But why did God write in the Bible? So that when you are going through something, when you want to start complaining, just go and see what happened to Job. Immediately you start thanking God. Hello? That your own problem is no problem. Hallelujah. And then you will also be able to say, if God helped Job and turn his captivity, God will help me and turn my own captivity. That is the purpose of the scripture. Give me Romans 15 verse 4. He said that we through the scriptures, by patience of the scriptures, not our own patience, so the patience, the consistency of God's faithfulness as written inside the scriptures will give us hope. If God could help Job, your own problem is no problem. Think about it. You know, what is it that is challenging your life right now? You didn't get a job in Abuja, B. Hello, somebody. Oh, they went to American embassy, they didn't give you visa. And that's why I didn't come to church today. Angry with God, angry with the pastor, angry with everybody. No, these are the stupid things that disturb people. You know, if you see the things we moan and complain about, then you go and see what happened to Job. Quickly, we start to thank God. For whatsoever things... Turn to your neighbor and say, for whatsoever things, including the story of Job. For whatsoever things were written aforetime, were written for our learning. Turn to your neighbor and say, all scripture is important. Everything in the Bible is for you to learn something from. You know, you do yourself a great disservice when you say, oh, I won't read this part of the Bible. I don't like Revelation. Oh, man, for me, bad dream. I remember as a young Christian, yeah, I'm being serious. As a young Christian, people say, I got revelation. Revelation, you know, it's too scary. You know, I don't want to read Revelation, you know. And then people don't like reading this, like Job. They don't, you know. Bible says for your learning. You're shortchanging yourself. You just cut out part of the syllabus. But the exam will contain everything in the syllabus. So you better learn everything. Hello? The Bible is a syllabus. Not half the Bible. It says all scripture. So if you try and palm, you can't, this is our Bible exam. You cannot permutate and say, oh, this one will come out, this one will not come. Everything is coming out. Are you listening to me? Yeah. We also have multiple choice. It's going to cover the entire syllabus. Hallelujah. In every way, thank you. So whatsoever things were written aforetime, I didn't hear you, were written for our learning. Don't you ever say that hour includes you? Because some people will say it's for their learning. That we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. This is particularly true of the book of Job. If God could help Job, God can help anybody. If Job could survive what he went through, you can certainly survive what you are going through. I'll give you a second reason. He was not even inside the old, he was in the Old Testament. Even the law of Moses was not even there. And we are on a New Testament, better testament, established upon better promises. He had no high priest that was praying for him. Job didn't have tongues. Job did not have a complete Bible like you. Job could not turn to the book of Job. He couldn't turn to the book of Job to get any encouragement. Can you see that your own problem, you don't have a problem? I know we have problems. What I mean is that in the light of these things, your problems become insignificant. So stop complaining and murmuring and grumbling and telling God how everything is so hard. You will not see Job's problem. Oh. Pastor G, God forbid. The average Christian, if anything close to what Job happened to them, they will backslide. The average Christian, I'm not saying everybody, but most people are. They don't go to church again. Oh. Eh? How can God allow this kind of thing to happen to me? What kind of God is that? That's what people will say. And a lot of people will say, well, you know, just like Job's three friends. Or they'll go to Babalao. Exactly. Thank you, Pastor Wale. You know, that's what happened with Saul. And they had a problem and he went to the bar. You know, I know what Pastor Lubi will say. Safety Thompson, you know, you better go and look for help. That is a sure way to hellfire. For a born-again Christian who already has known the truth, Bible says, I have tasted of the powers of the age to come. You know, I've tasted the good word of God. He says, if they fall away, then they cannot find a way of, there is no way to renew them. He said, but a certain fearful judgment that shall devour the adversaries. You don't even want to go there. It's better to die believing God than to compromise your faith and go and look, you know, and go and look for help from the devil, from witchcraft. If God can't help you, trust me, the witchcraft can't help you. So it's better to just die and go to heaven. And you will not die, you will live in Jesus' name. You know, you all just need to just learn God's ways. Most Christians don't know God's ways. All they want is God's works. And that's why they get themselves in all kinds of trouble. Hello, somebody. Okay? So we learned in our last lesson from the comfort, the examples of the prophets, and then he particularized Job. He singled out Job because Job is an extreme example. In engineering, we have what we call worst-case design. When you're designing either an electronic circuit or you're designing a bridge, or a road, or something you estimate that the number of cars that will pass this road is, I'm just giving a hypothetical figure, is maybe, 1 million cars every month. Brother Corey and Brother Adishola will tell you, they will go and, civil engineers, they will go and start calculating how much concrete, how much tar and all of that I'm going to use, the kind of drainage that can take that kind of traffic. That's one of the reasons why all these silly people who build roads in Nigeria, they go and, God have mercy on me. I don't want to get off into that. I'll go and call EFCC for them. they will bring the contract down because they want to make money. And then instead of using the right kind of materials, they go and start using inferior materials. Brother Adishola was telling me, that there was one place where the building collapsed here in this Ibadan. And some of the people were not Brother Adishola, his own workers. The women, just the women said, they said, our Oga does not do it like this. So they were warning the people that this mixture you are using is not going to work. Leave it. The thing came down. So we do what's called worst case design. So you if you are designing for 10,000, if you calculate for 10,000, when you are going to actually build, you don't build for 10,000, you build for 50. It's called worst case design because you make room for variations that you may not foresee. That's what good engineers do. We call it worst case design. So even if the very worst happens, the bridge or the house or whatever it is, it will be able to take the pressure. But if you go and build go and build just marginally, just maybe 1 or 2% on top, all kinds of things can happen. And so the Bible is built for worst case design. It's true. Amen. These things that are written are really worst case design. I don't know of anybody in our modern time that has gone through what Job went through. God will not allow you to go through what Job went through. But the good news is that if Job survived, you will survive. That's the good news. That's the lesson to learn. So don't stop grumbling about what you are going through. You're not going through anything compared to Job. So you know what you should be doing? Thanking God. Thanking God. In everything, give thanks. So examples of the prophets and Job of suffering, affliction, but being victorious in the end by God's mercy. So when God allows affliction to come, in the end you are going to be victorious. What you need to do is maintain the right attitude, stay in prayer, stay in the word, keep a humble and an honest attitude. Don't fight God, don't blame God. The Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. When you do that, then you open the door through which the mercy and the grace of God can flow, and that mercy and grace of God will now flow in and turn your captivity around. It won't happen overnight, but it will happen. Amen. That is usually the problem. Most people expect the whole problem to disappear overnight. It doesn't. Job's problem did not disappear overnight. That's why that thing is written. The Bible says that people did not talk for 7 days. When his friends and people came and they saw Job, he had lost all his children, he had lost all his wealth, his whole body was full of blood. They said they were so stunned, they just sat down. For 7 days, nobody talked. That's how severe the affliction was. Then Job opened his mouth. He didn't curse God, though. He just said, I wish I was not born. That's the summary. It would have been better if I had died in my mother's womb, or I never was born for this kind of thing to happen. And then the thing went on. We don't know how long it went on for. Certainly must have gone on for some months. It wasn't an overnight thing. But Job, his attitude towards God did not change. He was loyal to God. Because what Satan told God was that he will curse you to your face. The wife failed the test, but Job passed it. He didn't do that. And he won the world, but he said, even if he slays me, yet will I trust him. End of story. He said, and if I might die, you know, he said, well, even after this body has died and worms, he said, yet in my flesh shall I see God, for I know my Redeemer liveth. Job just passed all the tests. And I can imagine God telling the devil, you see. Give the Lord a clap offering. you said he will curse me. And he has even said that even if I kill him. So he passed the test. He loved not his life unto the death. Then he now gave him the spiritual secrets. He said, now pray for your friends. Pray. The Bible says, and when Job prayed for his friends, God. That's the secret of tribulation, prayer. We're going to get to it in a minute now. So let's remember that. Now, verse 12. But above all things, my brethren, I did not hear you. Who are we speaking to now? Brethren. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation. You know, I think this is not only true. You know, I remember when we were children, you know, of course I wasn't born again at this time, when something becomes very serious. You know, you begin to say, I swear by this or I swear by that. You know, you're trying to convince the person that you're telling the truth. You know, and heathen people will say, Ogunba? Ogun is a deity of steel in our own culture. You know, and just, you know, God's, the Bible says, don't even do things like that. You're Christian now. Amen. So you don't need Ogun or any other silly thing. You got God. Hallelujah. You got the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And even then you don't swear. Let it be simple. Yes or no. You know when somebody talks too much, you know why? They're trying to lie. Thank you. Proverbs chapter 10 verse 19. In the multitude of words, they wanted no. When he talk, he's trying to hide something. Why don't you just make it simple? Is it yes or is it no? I remember something now, but I don't want to use it because it's not a very nice example. You know, when people go to court and maybe somebody has done something wrong and, you know, the evidence, and then they ask him, he won't answer the question. They're trying to use technicalities. You know, when they ask him something, he won't say anything. He will go to one long story here, one long story there. You know, that's the way of the world. We shouldn't do that as Christians. Let yes be and no be, like God, like mommy teaches the life for children, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That means we don't want long story. We don't pad the truth. Like they did with the budget. I couldn't help that. Yeah, add something to the thing that was not there. As the president said, he's not going to sign it until he sees what they have reviewed. Only God knows what the boys have put there. After all, the boys must work. Amen. God have mercy on us. We are praying. God is going to help Nigeria. God is helping Nigeria in Jesus' name. Are you listening to me? But the truth about the matter is that you don't need long talk. Long talk is usually a way of telling lies. That's why I say, swear not. Once you hear somebody say, I swear. Just say yes or no. Let me just, you know, add something here. You know why you lie? You know why people lie? Because they don't know God. Or let me put it this way, they don't trust God. You are lying to try and gain an advantage. Either you don't want somebody to hurt you, or you don't want them to take something from you, or you don't want to do... You know, it's always a selfish reason why you lie. Is this clear? But if you have God in your life, you don't need to lie. You have everything. What are you lying for? You don't need to lie. Lying betrays a lack of trust in God. Because if God is going to be the one who is going to look after you, and if God is going to strengthen you, then you're not afraid of telling the truth. Like Jesus said, the truth will set you free. Now, he meant that in another context, but in this particular context in which I'm talking, when you tell the truth, you're going to trust God to back you. You're going to trust God to protect you. You're going to trust God to gift you. So you don't need to lie. So it's a very important thing. Very, very important. You know, don't be like, it's so common in the world. You start telling you about this and telling you. When I hear a person, when he starts talking too much, I know he's trying to convince me that he's more than what he is. You know, you shouldn't, there should not be any hype. You know, once somebody overhypes something, it means he's trying to portray a picture of something that he's trying to make you think he's better than what he is. Whereas honest people, you know, and people of integrity, sometimes they don't even tell you all they are. They just tell you what you need to know. It's later you go and start finding out. So you even have this. I said, why are you chopping? It's not necessary. That's a secure person. Am I talking to anybody here? May God have mercy on us. Please learn. Keep this mouth, you know. We talked about that in James chapter 3. You know, if you can control your mouth, you can control your whole body. You know, be economical with words. Let thy words be few. That's not to say you shouldn't talk. Talk. But, you know, let the words count. Don't just, you know, the Bible says every idle word shall be judged. Hello, somebody. Okay. Now, let's move to verse 13. So, is any among you afflicted? What's wrong with you? Read the Bible now. I don't know. You know, thank God taught me this verse of scripture that I should preach the whole Bible. You don't hear this kind of message. Nobody talks about it. But when you preach verse by just chapter by chapter, you cannot escape it. Unless you want to be dishonest. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Do you notice that he does not say is any afflicted, sing psalms? Do you notice that? You see people, you know, when somebody is in a bad situation, they want to go and start singing. That's not the time to sing. The Bible says when you go and sing to somebody who is in problem, it's like pouring vinegar. Thank you. Give me that scripture. It's in Proverbs. I don't know the exact verse. You know, like, you know, he says, you know, he that sings songs to somebody that's of a heavy heart. Have you got the scripture? Please help me find it and so they can get it. You know, aha, look at this. Thank God for the Bible. That's why God gave us the Bible, and particularly the book of Proverbs, gives us wisdom. There's a wisdom of how to behave in different. When somebody is going through a difficult, that's not the time to start singing. Say, I'm singing by faith. You're not the one going through what they're going through. Hello? Is there a place to sing? Yes, there's a place to sing. But at a particular time, many times, in a time of affliction, the first thing you do is to pray. It is in the place of prayer, and you now get the victory over the situation in the spirit, even before you see the manifestation, you can start singing. So, prayer always precedes praise. That's the order. Is that clear? Look at this. As he, I didn't hear you, that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. When a man's heart is heavy, that's not the time to sing. It's the time to pray. It's the time to pray. I remember an experience I had, you know, I've had many, many, but this is just one that just comes. You know, when we first got married, and, you know, we wanted to have children, and my wife was in a hurry, and I said, let's take it easy. She didn't listen. But anyway, the first children we had, you know, twins, we lost them. You know, the first one came down, then later on, we didn't even know there was a second one inside. She was in UCH for about 6 weeks, you know. And God saved us because he would have killed her. You know, Dr. Marino, we had to go back and they did another there was another baby there. So anyway, and the thing was conforming what's called the castle. Anyway, so they had to do D&C. They had to do an evacuation. It was very, 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 very troubling experience for a young couple. I was 26. My wife was 25. And I was a pastor preaching faith. You can imagine, I can never forget what I did. I went to go and pick her from the hospital. We had that panel van my mother gave us, and I went to pick her from the hospital from UCH, came back home, just encouraged and comforted her. I just took my Bible. I can never forget that day. I just carried my Bible very quietly. We had only two rooms. It was this Sultan Belu Hall flats. Just went to the second room, which was my study where I do my prayer. I just started praying again. My heart was heavy. But what do you do? Are you going to fight God? So I used to encourage young people. We're going through this. I just went straight to that place. I just started praying like I normally do. I prayed, thank God for tongues. That's one of the reasons why praying in tongues is so important. When you're in trouble, you don't even know what to say. Where are you going to start? That's why God gave us tongues. I just went and did live scriptures and just start praying in the spirit. As you pray in spirit, the Bible says you build yourself up. The Holy Ghost will start. That's where the ministry of the Spirit of God, which is the spirit of comfort. You don't get comfort by people coming to sit down with you and crying with you. And all of that, I know they mean well. Don't misunderstand me. But really, the real comfort is the one the Holy Ghost gives. And the way you tap into it is by prayer. I may not be any big, strong prayer. Just praying quietly in the spirit. Then the Holy Spirit will start talking to you. And start encouraging you. Say, son, it's okay. Yeah, I'm here with you, so everything will be fine. Just pray, I'm going back to church, start doing all things like that. Within a few months, we had another baby, and then later on, the other children came. But if you sit down there and start feeling sorry for yourself, and you sit down there and start fighting with God, and you sit down there and start blaming God, I'm your servant, preaching all this, something, and you see how you disgraced me. God's man of faith and power, preaching divine healing, divine this, divine that, and see me, oh. Hello? That's what goes on through our minds. I know you can't say it, but I know your heart. But it's the truth. God! What you should do is pray. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Everybody shout it. Is any afflicted? Say it again. Say it again. Don't you never say, anytime affliction comes, and you may be going through some now, learn to pray. Give the Lord a clap offering. I don't feel like praying. That's when you need it the most. And that is the reason, I'm going to repeat what I just said, for tongues. When you pray in tongues, your feeling has got anything with it. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like praying, but I will pray. I don't feel like praying. And that's why I thank God, Pastor G, for the things God taught us all these years. When I've been in all kinds of difficult situations in my life, in different areas, financial, ministry, this is the same thing I do. I just go to the Bible, confess my sins. If I have any wrong attitude, I repent of them. I'll draw life and I'll start praying in tongues. End of story. Sometimes I pray for an hour. Sometimes I pray for 2 hours. If I still don't feel any relief, I'll just keep praying. Then I may get tired. I may sleep. And I wake up. By the time I wake up, God will talk to me. there will be some light. There will be some comfort that will come, that will give me a direction out of that situation. But if you sit down there crying and feeling sorry for yourself, that's where Satan comes and finishes most Christians. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. That's a direct command. God has told you what to do. There is no point begging God. Do what he said. And is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Now, let me use this example. The two of them, you know, which we all know very well. You know, the first one is Paul and Silas. You don't know what happened to Paul and Silas. You only read it in 3 verses. You know, it's very easy to read those three and all say, here the guy is preaching the word of God. Preaching the word of God, pure word. This girl is coming with a crystal ball, you know, soothsayer. Paul casts the devil out of her. And suddenly, she cannot divine anymore. God have mercy. You know, all those people should not be able to operate when you are around. Without you even talking. Just your presence. The force field of the life of God has come out of you should make every witchcraft, neutralize every witchcraft that is around you. For there is no divination against Jacob. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No divination. You know, Christians don't know, they'll be afraid. And look, see how stupid we are. They will be running to them for help. Don't let me go there. Are you listening to me? No. No. Paul cast the devil out. Couldn't see anything anymore. In our language, that means she couldn't divine anymore. You know, and the people got because they were using it to make money. That's all they do. They use it to make money. Just like our pastors. I preached a message some years ago, you know, on passive and active witchcraft. Very common in the church. There's no difference between us and many of the other people. I'm not talking about all of us, you know. I'm talking about the covetous ones amongst us. You know, the spirit of witchcraft comes in and you take money from the people. There's Pentecostal witchcraft, and then there's the other one witchcraft. But the bottom line of all of them is money. Amen. Just like when you go to the witch doctor, he will tell you have to bring so many amount of sheep, so many amount of this, so many amount of that. You come to the church, the guy will tell you for this kind of breakthrough, you are going to bring so many amount of this, so many amount of that. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. And all those who want breakthrough at 5 million naira, you know, this is the kind of money you bring. What's the difference between the guy? Call on Shanua. Are you listening to me? So Paul cast the devil out. So there was no more money. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. So they came to arrest Paul and Silas. I find it very interesting. It's good to meditate on the word of God. There was no angel at that time. No earthquake. You know, I would have thought that when they came to arrest Paul and Silas, God would not allow them to touch the man of God. Hallelujah. The man of God, a whole apostle, an apostle to the Gentiles, who was not taught but he got it by revelation. You would not even think that God will allow anybody to touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You wouldn't even, they touched him. They did more than touch. You would have thought that immediately they just came to arrest Paul, one big angel would go around and touch the man of God. But nothing like that happened. They don't only touch them, they beat nonsense out of them. All put 39 stripes. Their backs were bleeding with blood. Don't read it in 3 verses. This is what the reality of what I can imagine what's going on inside Paul's mind. Where's God? We just cast the devil out. We're doing the will of God now. Why didn't God protect us?
Why didn't God protect us? Why? The Bible says he's given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Now, nothing with that. This one's even dashed. It's more than my food that has been dashed.
Am I talking to anybody here?
It's reality.
No one deserves that. After they beat them, he took them to the jail. No procedure, like in some places. No rule of law. You know, you don't go and put somebody in jail without going to a court and getting an indictment. You know, but nothing has changed. If people have money, they will put you in jail.
That's what happened.
You know, Paul was a lawyer. You know, they put him in jail. You know, they put them inside the innermost part of, and the jails of today. Do you understand? You know, are like the Hilton compared to the jails of those days. A jail of today, you can watch television in jail. In America, you see them in jail. You see the guy watching television. You know, eating, playing basketball. I say, jail, no, Lelisha. Amen. But in those days, it was not anything like that. And they made their feet fast. They put iron, a stock that you know made the feet. Let me, before we go on, I want to ask a simple question. Be honest, though. Because that's the only way you can make progress with God. Are you listening to me? What would you have done that night? Apostle, in the will of God, preaching the word of God. The first question is, why God? A whole me. A whole Paul. It's the truth. Don't ask those silly humility with me. Tell the truth. What would you have been thinking? God! Not only they beat us, they disgraced us. Then they put us in jail. You know, Paul and Silas, they could have had a pity party and complained all night long. But they did what the scripture said. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. So you know what they did? Instead of feeling sorry for themselves, instead of trying to find out whether God is faithful or God is not faithful, they began to pray because they understood that God is faithful. And God, this is the true meaning of that scripture in Romans chapter 8, that all things work together. That's not the correct translation. The correct translation is the best one, is in New International Version. That in all things, God is working for the good of them that love him. So they wanted to keep God working on the scene. The way you keep God working in your situation is not by complaining and murmuring, it's by praying. So even with the pain in their back, even with the back bleeding and all these, you know, the psychological and the physical trauma that they had been through, they learned to pray. They prayed in tongues. You know, they prayed and they prayed and they prayed and they prayed, and then they got a breakthrough. When they got a breakthrough in prayer, they moved from prayer to praise and began to sing. Then these prisoners heard them, and then something happened. There was a great earthquake. And watch this. Not only were Paul and Silas's bands loosed, everyone, people around you will get your blessing. Hallelujah. Everyone. The foundations of the prison was shaken. Everybody's band was loosed. You know, that's why, you know, it's good to pray. When you, especially praying in tongues, that's why tongues is so powerful. God will not only bless you, bless the people around you. God, that's his nature. God is a blesser God. He likes to bless people. Are you listening to me? You're not selfish. So he blessed, he not only released Paul, But all the other people, all their own bands too were loosed. And the man, the jailer thought that they were going to escape. And he knows what will happen. He wanted to kill himself. And Paul said, chill. Don't kill yourself. We're all here. That one, you don't need too much message. The Bible says the man came trembling. You know, when you see God in action. The problem in our generation is that we don't see God in action too much. All these unbelievers, this same man who arrested them, the same man that beats them, the same person, the same hard-hearted, you know, callous, unrighteous, that should not have put people in jail without taking them to a judge and getting an indictment. The same man, when he saw God on the scene, he changed. Came trembling and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Who told him he was lost? He didn't say, sirs, please, oh, pray for me. He said, what must I? He understood his lost spiritual condition. Who told him? God. He was convicted by the Holy Spirit. What must I do to be saved? And Paul told him, no long story. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house shall be saved. And the Bible says immediately he took them, cleaned them up, and that night he got baptized. But what's the lesson here? I've painted a graphic picture because it wasn't a piece of cake. It wasn't a walk in the park. Are you listening to me? It was a very serious situation. Their lives were even in danger. But look at how Paul responded and Silas. This is what the lesson we must learn. They learned to respond in the spirit, not in the flesh. They prayed. And when, as they prayed, the Holy Ghost moved inside the situation and literally turned their captivity. He literally turned their captivity, you know, and got them out of that situation, you know. And not only that, got other people born again, and the blessing went round. Then the next day, because those guys know that they're told lies, they're going to release those men. Paul said, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm a Roman citizen, and I'm a lawyer. If they want us, let them come, because they had no right to send us to jail without taking us to a judge and as Roman citizens. They said when they heard that they were Roman, everybody began to shake. But the point is this. Let's learn how to respond in the spirit in difficult situations and not in the flesh. One other example, and we'll close. We'll stop with this and we'll take it up from this now. Next lesson is Jehoshaphat. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the Bible says, I'm just going to summarize, that a big army, a great army of the Moabites and the Ammonites and a lot of other guys came to attack Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat didn't have a big army as they, and he knew that he could not face them militarily. So he did the sensible thing that we all must learn to do when we are facing impossible, difficult, life-threatening, existential threats. Are you listening to me? Life-threatening situations. The Bible says he got all to seek the Lord in prayer and fasting. 2 Chronicles verse 3. Thank you. And he set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And is any afflicted? I didn't hear you. Is any afflicted? Is any afflicted? Do you know that they don't start with singing psalm? Hello? Oh, there's a place for singing. We're going to see in a minute. But can you see? It's an order in the Word of God. Can you see that the first thing they did was not to start singing psalms? The first thing they did was to pray. So, after they prayed for a short while, you know, the Bible doesn't tell us how long, God speaks to them. Verse 15 of 2 Chronicles. And he said, a prophetic word came through one of the Levites. Hearken ye, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. I like God. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Then he now gave them, I don't know, because of time, you know, he gave them instructions what they're going to do. He said, you don't need to fight. He said, in the morning, let's go to verse, I'm just going to pick the relevant verses. Look at verse 21. Good. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers. This is the place for singing. You see, singing came after prayer. Singing does not come before prayer. It comes after, because prayer is the avenue through which the power of God, the angels of God, will be able to change the situation. Then once the situation is changing, even in the realm of the spirit, even before you see it, then singing will now come, and then the manifestation comes on the wings of the singing. Is this clear? And he appointed singers unto the Lord. I did not hear you. That should praise the beauty of holiness. Oh God, this is wonderful. As they went out before the army. Have you ever seen an army in the war front? And the people, you know, the first infantry column is singers. Don't try it except you got God with you. It will be a massacre. Are you listening to me? And they went before the army to say, praise the Lord. Ah, I didn't hear you. For his mercy endureth forever. Verse 22. This is beautiful. And when they began, oh Shekaramangara Tofres. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord did what? Set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mansiah that were come against Judah, and they were what? Smitten. I don't want to get into this, you know, too much, because I preached it recently. These angels on assignment. Angels just went and scattered them. Just scattered them. Hallelujah. Jehoshaphat did the right thing. So I want to leave this with us. We're closing now for the Bible study. When you are afflicted, what do we mean by affliction? Any difficult physical, emotional, or circumstantial, you know, condition, circumstances, go and pray. I don't feel like praying. Like somebody said, you know, you can't afford not to pray. And that is why I'm saying this the third time this morning. You know, God gave us tongues. God knew that there will be situations where the mind and the emotions are not in any condition to pray. That is why when you pray in tongues, it is your spirit that is praying. Not your mind, not your emotions. The only thing I just say, God, look, I don't understand this situation. One thing I just know, I know you are there, and I know you are a good God. Oh God, help me. Give me wisdom and comfort and strength. So just start praying tongues. No long story. And pray and pray and pray and pray. As you pray, the Holy Ghost will start talking to you. Comfort will come, wisdom will come, light will come. It may not happen in one or every overnight in one day. It may be something you need to deal with over a period of a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But keep praying about the situation. Keep praying about the situation. Keep praying, and the wisdom of God will come. The word of God will come. The power of God, and we change and turn the situation around for your good. In every circumstance, no matter how severe, use this principle. Pray and praise God. Even when you finish praying, before the answer comes, at the end of it, the little praise, you may not be able to praise God as much as you normally would, but you just praise God and thank Him. just say, I thank you. You know, and I'm grateful. You know, and then have an attitude. It's all an attitude. An attitude of thanksgiving. An attitude of trust. You know, Job was not praising God. He wasn't praising God. He wasn't singing choruses when he was in that terrible situation. But his attitude was right. He said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. His attitude, what was coming from the heart, was clean and pure. And you know what? God came down when he prayed for his friends and turned around his captivity. God will turn around your captivity. Let us pray. Talk to God. I don't know what you're going through, but I know each and every one of us will have one challenge or the other. These are the days that the enemy is trying to do everything he can to try and discourage the church. But God has shown us the answer. Is any afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. And then he will now come and he will work inside the situation and he will turn it around and he will turn around, as it were, your captivity. Don't allow bitterness, anger with God, anger with men. You know, another thing some people do is that they find somebody else to blame about the situation. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. Yes, some people may have done some things, but your real problem is not with them, but with the devil behind them. Paul's problem was not with the jailer in Philippi. It was the devil behind the jailer. And when God dealt with the devil, the same jailer came and helped Paul. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies, be at peace with him. Stop fighting men. It's a distraction. Face the, and that's why, again, I'm saying it a fourth time, praying in tongues is so powerful. Because when you're praying in tongues, you are dealing directly with the real enemy. Because the Holy Ghost knows the real enemy and knows what to do to get to deal with them. You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning. Sorrows, they don't last always. For there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift both hands and say, I know that I will make it. My life is in. You don't have to worry.
You don't have to worry. And don't you be afraid.
And don't you be afraid.
Joy comes in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning.
Sorrows,
they don't last always. Who will wipe your tears away?
If your heart is broken,
and if your heart is broken,
just lift those hands,
just lift the hands and say, that I will make it. My life is in your hands. I know I will make it.
With Jesus, I know I will make it.
With Jesus, I will stand. No matter what may come my way. Life is in your hands. You don't have to worry. worry. One last time.
And don't you be afraid.
The joy comes in the morning.
Joy comes in the morning.
Sorrow fades away.
Who will wipe your tears away?
If your heart is broken,
and if your heart is broken, just lift those hands. Just lift your hands and say, I know that I will make it.
Confidence.
No matter.
No matter what may come my way. My life is in His hands.
My life is in your hands.
Put one hand on your heart. Raise the other hand to God. We all face challenges. Everybody. Young and old, male and female. Be one problem or the other. When you solve one problem, another one is coming. See, folks, you have to have this mentality. I call it a warrior mentality. I have learned to change my mindset over the years. I'm still working on it. I have come to understand that this Christian, so long as I'm in this earth, there will be problems. I will just have got one victory, so God will, another one will just come. And I'm going, hey God, but learn, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I want, even if you're of good cheer here, give the Lord a shout. I didn't say, it's not all the people who said it's Jesus, I'm echoing him. He said, in the world. Jesus did not lie to us. He did not give us a make-belief. He said, there will be problems. In the world, so long as you are here, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Give yourself another shout. I have overcome the world. And because He has overcome the world, you have overcome the world. With Jesus, I will make it. Hallelujah. I will make it.
Jesus, I will
make it.
Jesus,
I will stand. No matter. Make up my way. My life is in you. With Jesus. With Jesus.
Raise your other hand.
just spoke to me. You see, that's why it's good to pray and it's good to sing. As we're singing now, you know what he just said? He said, ask them. He said, ask each person, what are you going through? Remember we said, no matter what. Do you really mean it? The Holy Ghost just told me now. He said, ask them. Each person in your own individual life now. Quick, we're going to pray in a minute. But I don't want you to pray general prayer. I want you to pray focused prayer. No matter what has come your way now? You just told him that no matter what. Do you mean those words, or is your words as your heart far from him? I just singing songs. Do you mean it? No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand. Now, what has come your way? See, what has come Olubi's way is not necessarily what has come Kayode's way, or what has come Sarah's way, or what has come Lola's way. What has come your way? Quickly, focus on it. We're going to pray about it now and demolish it. But I don't want you to pray general prayer. Be very focused. What has come your way now? Each one of us has something that has come our way. Now, focus on that, and then we're going to pray about it. The Bible says, any afflicted, let him pray. This is going to be the beginning of the prayer, and then you continue with that prayer, even after we leave here, after church, maybe once every week, or once every day, you know, pray a few minutes, pray in tongues, and just keep praying about it, and saying, God, thank you. You may not be able to sing and shout, you know, but you can still say thank you to God. In everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing. This is the will of God concerning you. Now, focus on it. What has come your way? It's a direct prophetic word that has just come. What has come your way? Now, good. Now, that hand up. The other one on the heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood of Jesus, in Jesus' name, we have life. Oh my God, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that when I am afflicted, I should pray. Because when I pray, your power, your wisdom, your comfort by your Holy Spirit begins to work in and through me to turn my situation around for good. Oh God, you know my heart. I repent of every wrong attitude of murmuring, of complaining, of unbelief, of bitterness, of blaming others about this thing that has come my way. Oh God, you know what has come my way. Oh God, I repent of all that. And I start now. I press a restart button to deal with this situation. And as I pray now, oh Lord, by your Holy Spirit, I trust you to begin to turn the situation around for my good. Like you did for Job. Like you did for the prophets of old. Like you did for Paul and Silas. Like you did for Jehoshaphat. Do now for me. In Jesus' name. Now say this to the Lord. Lord, I know you are working on it.
I know you have already started working on it, so I'm not going to worry anymore. Anytime I remember, I will say, thank you, Lord. I know you are working on it. And I will pray in the spirit so that you can continue to work on it until there is a complete, total reversal of my captivity in this regard. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
I will make it.
With him I know I'm here.
With him I know I will stay. No matter what, make up my way. My life is in your hand. No matter what, make up my way. My life. Let's give God a really super hand.